Welcome, welcome, welcome back. This is part two of my fabulous conversation with Elaine and Ricky. If you haven't listened to part one of this two-parter, please stop now and go back to the previous episode. You'll need the context for this one. Part one is great, too. You'll be happy you went back to listen. And I'm betting you'll be very excited to get to this second part. As I mentioned at the end of the last episode, we had not planned on making this a two-parter. It was just such a wonderful conversation, and we kept on talking, and I didn't want to edit out too much, so we split it into two. And now, without further delay, we're going to pick up right where we left off last time. Enjoy. I'll talk to you on the other side. So what do we do? What do we do? I mean, everything that we're saying applies to what's going on in this country now and in the past. I mean, moving forward, do you two see yourselves as having any particular mission in life?
Absolutely. Mine are probably simple. I think Ricky's going to say something that's going to be so amazing. I'm going to start weeping. I really do. I feel like he's about to do a mission, honey. Like, you know, he's about to get to killing it. But I just feel like, there was a quote, I was reading it to my students that Audre Lorde said, and I'm going to find it.
Oh, I love her.
And it just kind of ended, a very short quote, about participating. That, and I'm just summing it up, but it's like, you can't get so jaded that you are oblivious to everything. And it's like, that's not my problem. And you can't get so like afraid that it's like, I can't do anything to change anything. It's like, find your work and then do that work. Find your work. Something about that just, it lifted something off of my shoulders the other day. And I got my enthusiasm back. And I think that's my mission. I am a person who enjoys laughing. I'm a person who is enthusiastic. I'm a person who likes people. And when I let myself, I can listen. And I thought, well, that's it. I have to just work on, just do that.
Well, you've done it really well, Elaine. I mean, I always was a little jealous of you because we would go out and everyone just, you're so magnetic and everyone loves you. And no matter where we go, we run into someone that says, Elaine. We were on a plane to Europe and there was somebody on the plane for crying out loud. It's like everybody loves Elaine and you're spreading that love and you have spread that love. And yeah. And I know it's the same for Ricky.
Absolutely.
I hope a mission can't even be judged by how big or how small. It's just, are you on the path of trying to bring up some joy? Because Katie, you know, and I will just get into a sentimental, like a mutual admiration club in a minute. And I remember the day we realized that we looked up to each other.
Aww.
And that we felt like, well, wait a minute, I look up to you. You look at me, I look up to you. Because you,
I don't see how you could look up to me.
Okay, I'm going to tell you.
Compared to you.
I'm going to tell you.
Please tell her.
Because the fears and the anxieties that I have sometimes make my leadership weakened because I'm too afraid to try a thing. And I'm a little introverted anyway, too, as an extroverted personality. But I always felt like when you were afraid, you were clear you were afraid, but you did it anyway.
Yeah.
And that's always such a freaking inspiration to me. And even if you took personally a pushback, at which you do, because you're one of the most self-reflective people, probably too much self-reflecting, but you continued and there was never anything that you didn't see as possible for yourself. That's huge.
I don't know where I got that, but I know that you're right about that.
I don't know, but you have it. I know that you have it.
But it's absolutely the truth. It's absolutely the truth of who you are, Katie. It's absolutely the truth. And it is inspiring. And Elaine, I love your answer. And my answer is not nearly as profound as you think it is. Actually, your answer leads into my answer. I found my work. And my work is to remind people who they are. And whether it's through visual art or through filmmaking, it's to remind people who they are. I went on this journey a few years ago. And it's a great story, but the long story short, I had to figure out, okay, I know I do these things, but who am I? Yeah. And when I went on that journey to figure out who I am, and it was a nice little process, it's great. But coming out of that process, I realized I'm a teacher who inspires. And if I take that authentic self, I can put it into whatever vocation I want.
That's right.
As long as I'm doing things that are showing people things that they didn't know and doing it in a way that inspires them. And so my mission is to remind people who they are, because if we remember who we are, all the problems that the world has go away.
Well, we're like a mirror, because I've been writing a book called Remembering the Woman You Are for 100 years. And it's the same thought.
I love that. You never told me that. That's wonderful.
Because this is what I've been writing for 100 years and I ain't wrote nothing. But that same idea, I enjoy people finding themselves and mm-hmm. excelling and opening and seeing possibilities. And we live in such a comparison society that sometimes you forget that what you have to offer is enough.
Mm-hmm. The comparison thing is a killer.
Just figure out what it is.
Well, because people are consumed with finding happiness. And happiness, particularly in a capitalist society, mm-hmm. is looking for the things that make you feel good outside of yourself. Mm-hmm. I'm consumed with and focused on joy, yeah. which comes from within. Yeah. And that comes from understanding exactly who you are, not only as a person, but in relation to the universe, the creator, yes. whatever it is yes. you have to be. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Once you understand that, nobody can put that pilot light out.
That's yeah. right.
It's ever burning. And actually, yeah. it's going to catch fire and ignite other people.
That's right.
That's all it's about. And so when people understand that and we're connected, that we're in this together, mm-hmm. all this other shit goes away.
It does.
Forgive my language, but it is what it is.
It does. Yeah. It does.
But until we know that,
yep.
craziness.
That eternal search for happiness consumes so many people. And it's a choice. You can choose to be happy. And you can choose to realize that you're not always going to be happy and that the fluctuating emotions are a normal part of life. There's so much medication out there to stifle emotions, to
oh, yeah.
mellow everybody out.
Oh, yeah.
And it's not that I'm against that entirely, but you know what? We are human beings and we have happiness and we have sadness and we have anger and it's learning how to see all of that within ourselves and manage all of that as it expresses itself outward.
Absolutely. My greatest lessons have been taught to me in the lowest points of my life.
Mm-hmm.
I actually live
Oh, absolutely.
For those. I'm
absolutely.
Actually at the point now where I embrace it when I'm in it, like, oh, this is a crazy minute I'm in. Okay,
here comes one
for me. What's yeah. in there for me?
Yeah.
But that's happiness. It's temporary.
Yes.
And it's going to go up. It's going to go down. And that's okay. That's the relative universe that we live in. You only know hot because you experience cold. You yeah. only know up because you've experienced down.
Mm-hmm.
But joy is everlasting.
I yeah. like this.
You know who and what you are. You're going to always be joyful. Did you ever see a picture of Mother Teresa where she wasn't smiling?
She's
dealing with miserable people and miserable existence under miserable circumstances, but she was being who she was. And mm-hmm. she was joyful in all of those moments.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, you're going to be miserable if you're trying to be something that you're not.
Mm-hmm. Say it that it's something that you're not, and it takes some time because people will tell you who they want you to be.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yes.
And sometimes you're trying to live into that and it ain't working. I like this word contentment. It's biblical. It's something that people will talk about in therapy or in anything. This idea of contentment
mm-hmm.
that you can be okay with very little or very much,
mm-hmm.
but it really you're just content with you.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And the simplicity of that is a trip. And then it's like, what is goodness trying to do with me?
Mm-hmm.
And what is temptation trying to do with me? I heard a pastor say this, and I've been thinking about it over the last couple of days because it was such an easy thing. It's like, okay, is temptation or a lack of whatever trying to use me as a vehicle to disturb somebody else's joy?
Mm-hmm.
What are you trying to do over on that side? I don't want to go that way. Okay, mm-hmm. what is the good part of me trying to do with me? Well, if I could lift somebody up, if I could be a little bit more kind, if I could be tougher on this person because they need a push so that they can get through it. Mm-hmm. So I thought, oh, that's something. That's something.
One of the things that brings me joy is doing volunteer service and trying. I so recommend this to people to get out of your own fucking head and get out of your own fucking misery and maybe take a few days and go do things for other people and then see how you feel.
You are the volunteer of all volunteers, by the way.
Yeah.
Let it be said.
Yeah.
Let it be said.
I try to fill the voids in my life. I didn't have family. I have wonderful friends who I consider family. And I'm honored that the two of you would think of me as a friend. It still surprises me sometimes.
I don't know why.
Ricky, do you hear her?
But that's me.
And actually, no. I'm going to push back on that. I need you to stop doing
that. Get her, Ricky. Get her.
And own who and what you are. If you think of us the way you think of us, think about that for a second. Why would we feel that way?
You know, it's just, I think, because I didn't grow up with any of that reinforcement. I did not have any family love. I had to find out what love was on my own. And there was a lot of trial and a lot of error.
But guess what?
What?
That was then.
Yeah.
This is now.
And let me just go on and get takey tacky about it. Where is the love? I have a tremendous outpouring of love from my family, but sometimes I didn't have it within myself.
Yeah.
So that love's got a perk in you.
Yeah.
And for you to really then appreciate that you're already all that love.
Mm-hmm.
And that's probably what all of us are like, hey, hi.
My best days, and I've slowly come to realize this over the years, my best days, when I'm the happiest, are when I also love myself.
Absolutely.
Because I feel so at peace with what I'm doing and saying and who I'm interacting with and what I'm doing in the world. You know, when you love that about yourself, then, you know, makes you happy.
I'm not as afraid when I'm myself.
And when you love yourself, it's literally impossible to be nasty to other people.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Which is why I don't freak out that much about other people being nasty to me, because I'm like, ooh, poor thing.
Mm.
You don't love yourself.
Yeah. What are they going through?
You can't do it. And Katie, you'll love this, even though you're not a church person. the church I go to, First Corinthian Baptist Church in New York, we have this vision statement, and it's amazing. And it says that we are an ever-evolving community of visionaries, dreamers, and doers, commanded by God to live the lives we were created to live, commanded by, oh Lord, I'm forgetting the statement now.
They're gonna get you now. God.
Okay, we've been drinking, folks.
We have been drinking.
I only had a little teensy bit of tequila.
But the second piece is really about how you're supposed to love beyond the limits of your prejudices. And the last part, which is key, is commissioned to serve. Because we all forget that we all get these gifts. Every single person, from the least educated, quote unquote, country person to the most sophisticated, educated city person, we all have a gift.
Mm-hmm.
And that gift is not for you. That gift comes through you, and it's for other people. So you're commissioned to serve. So serving other people is what you're here to do. So what's your gift, and how is your gift to be used to help other people? That's what you should be focused on. So be a visionary, be a dreamer, be a doer. But yo, live the life you, Katie, you, Elaine, Ricky, you were created to live. Love beyond the limits of your own prejudices and serve other people. And we all just did those things. Yo, it's
the lovely Lisa Tan Milstein used to say to me, don't be stingy with your gifts. Don't be stingy.
Oh, I love
and
that.
I think of that now. It's like you can get
constipated.
She was
my sorority sister in college.
See,
you can get constipated by saving all of those blessings and not sharing them.
Constipated.
If you're hoarding and not sharing those personal gifts that you're imbued with, I think it can get stingy. And of course, stingy leads to miserly and fearful. I don't know if Lisa was trying to say all that, but that's what it said to me. Mm-hmm. It was like, oh, you're supposed to share it.
No, I like that. Don't be stingy with your gifts. And Ricky, you say, although you're not a church person, first of all, my mother was a Southern Baptist. I did go to Episcopal church growing up because my dad's family was Episcopal. I just, you know, my beliefs evolved over the years. And when I hear, I love what you said. I love what your church said. And the only thing that I do is when I hear the word God in my head, I translate that word into the universe or into love or into your higher self, you know, and then it all makes sense to me.
There you go.
I don't adhere to some being, but I get it, you know, and I think that's absolutely beautiful.
And I think
and
that's
you know what's
point.
Interesting. That is the point. And, you know, for me, I'm not so insecure in my own faith that I'm challenged by you channeling it the way you need to channel it.
Yeah. And that's what, and that's exactly
I think
what
it's
it is.
A bit of the problem is with most people. And just to redeem myself, in case any of them are listening, we are an ever evolving community of visionaries, dreamers,
no,
and
didn't.
Doers
no,
who have been
didn't.
Called
he
by God to live the lives we were created to live, commanded by God to love beyond the limits of our prejudices, and commissioned by God.
Sir. Amen.
Oh, they are going to give you so much shit for forgetting that the first time.
My pastor is one of my best friends. He's going to let me have it.
Fail.
There is this theater company in New York that somehow I discovered them just during the pandemic and on Zoom. And I was looking for just art on Zoom. and it's called Theater of War. And they've been doing all these things, and they're so interactive in the community. So they do these classic plays, then they talk to everybody in the community, just regular folk and every extraordinary person they can get. And one of the things in their mission, I just love it, is that they're like, look, bear with us. We're in new mediums. Our whole, I forget their whole mission statement, but it's about, we want to create a space. Mm-hmm. And we know when you try to create a space or a mission, we're going to make human mistakes. And we also embrace the messiness of those mistakes.
I love that.
Because we want the conversation. We want the conversation, and we can't let ourselves get so sensitive. Like Ricky's saying, I can't be so easily offended that I can't be opened up to something deeper and more real.
Right.
Exactly. Right. And it just feels, I mean, I know sound
it
like
feels good.
Giving these beauty pageant answers, but it's like, it just feels so good to love. Like, why would you do anything else?
Like, I'm envisioning you with a little tiara on right now. It's really awesome.
Beauty pageant answer.
I don't know. Is that a little sexist? I don't know.
Oh, not at all. There's male pageants, by the way. It's a whole
there
thing.
There sure are. Right, right, right.
Okay, some of the guys in your photographs should be in some male beauty pageants, you know, yourself included. But go to his, and now there are two, get this, Elaine. I'm like, so what can I dig up about Ricky and Elaine online?
Oh,
and other than an old Quiznos commercial. And so I'm looking at this website. I'm like, this looks like Ricky's work. And there's a similarity in the biographies. But it's Rick Day, who lives in the East Village, and Ricky Day, who lives in Harlem. And there's two Rick Days that are photographers and artists, and they do very similar things in New York City. And that just kind of blew me away.
Yeah, there's one Rick. That's him. Rick
Have
Day.
You met him?
I haven't. We have mutual friends. He's a really talented artist and photographer. But I'm Ricky. I'm known as Ricky Day.
I'm sure he thinks the same of you because your work is amazing.
Well, maybe not. That's
your
a whole
Instagram
story.
Page. When I went to your Instagram
That's
page, because I see the photos one at a time as I scroll. But when you go to your whole, Elaine, if you haven't, you got to go to Ricky's Instagram page because
I'm
he
going
has
right
made.
Because I can't remember if
you'll be blown away. I don't know how you did it. It's like putting together this geometric puzzle.
Of
his photos connect together into like collages of and larger photos. It's really just stunningly beautiful. Your work
Thank
is great.
You.
I am just inspired by the work that both of you guys do. You're such artists.
There's just so many adventures. There's just so much to do. There's so much to see that I like to do nothing.
And so little time to do it.
I know.
We could be on here and I cough and I'm out. I love to do nothing because the world is pretty interesting by its darn self.
Ain't that the truth?
I mean, it's like, do it your way. That's the whole point. Why are there billions and billions and billions of people if we're not supposed to express ourselves individually?
Absolutely.
In our own individuality. Why? I think.
And getting all religious with it again. Look at the world. Look at God's creativity.
Come on.
The universe's creativity and the diversity exists. Mm-hmm. Why would it be any different with human beings? Why would you want it to be monolithic? That is ridiculous.
The rose is not the same as the sunflower, but they're both gorgeous flowers.
And they don't trip about each other.
No,
right. And they ain't jealous of each other. Yeah. Yeah.
The sunflower is like, listen, I am big, I am bold, I'm gonna do me. And the rose is like, okay, well, I'm gonna stay over here and I'm gonna be a little sophisticated and tender, but it's all good. And I'm not threatened by you, and you're not threatened by me.
Yeah, I'll be me. You love who you wanna love, I love who I wanna love, I don't really care.
I just like opportunity for folks.
I don't
want my opportunities to make you afraid and thwart you. And I don't particularly want your opportunities to thwart me, but they needn't.
Mm-mm, there's enough room for all of us in this world.
So I think that's what we work for. My father always called it, my parents call it, the seat at the table.
Yeah.
That the idea is that you want to, you know, how do you say it, the level of the playing field. You want folks to be able to get equal access.
Mm-hmm.
That's it.
Yes. Yeah.
Equal access to education, information, possibility. Travel
and the same level of education,
resources, You want people to just have an opportunity so that mm-hmm. then, as you've both been talking about, you can make choices.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It really bothers me, the income inequality in this country right now, because so many people don't have the same options as other people. So many people never have had that them. And it's just sad, because what if we all had the same opportunities? What if we all were really on a level playing field? What a wonderful world that would be.
You know, there are always going to be people, and I mean, come on, I see it every second of my life, people who are just living a grand old life.
Yeah.
They don't have nothing. And they are creating things, and they are participating, and they are growing, and they are innovating, and they are in the race. Yeah. And sometimes I'm sitting in a chair like a potato, watching them and cheering them on. And then I'm going, I guess I could get out and do something.
Yeah.
So there's something fascinating about what seems to set some folks on an energetic level who don't care. They're going to find a way.
They just move mm-hmm. forward.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it's also important to be very honest about what it is you really want and what you're working for. And what I mean by that is not only the personal choices in your life and career, but even as groups. You know, like, there are these conversations, and I'm not going to co-sign on any of the particular ones, but there are these conversations about, you know, there's certain groups of people. Do you want equality, or do you want an opportunity just to be as bully and patriarchal as your white counterparts? Do you really want justice and fairness, or do you just want to be in a position where you can bully and look down at someone else? So when you see LGBT people voting for Trump by twice as big a margin as they were before, it's like, do you really want fairness and equal rights, or you just want to be, you know, treated the same way your white, straight, cisgender counterparts are treated?
It is bizarre that every, with the exception of white males, Trump got more votes in every single demographic.
Yeah.
How does that fucking happen?
Well, I think you have to have the real conversation. You have to really ask people what, and then you have to listen, because it's hard to listen to the answers.
Yeah.
If people even have any. Like, sometimes it exposes that people don't have any answer. Right. Maybe they're responding mm-hmm. to a conviction or a bravado. Well, I mean, that is something, but, you know. Maybe
or a word, the Cubans in Miami, because they heard the word socialism and their grandparents were killed by an evil dictator, and it triggers them.
But you have to figure out, what are people responding to? Or are they thinking, this one is the crack up for me, are you thinking that possibility means that you can make a leap without your own involvement, education, and action?
Oh, yes.
Right.
Like, come on now.
And then there's that. Then
come on that. Now. Like, wait a minute. That. Wait a minute. You're missing the fight that you've got to go through first.
Right.
To be able to make some of those leaps.
And it's tough, because that is a very, very important point you make for particularly African Americans, for example. And I could even narrow it down even further, African American men. It's like, okay, enough. We've been talking about this forever. Nothing's happened. And, well, you know, I have a little bit more money in my pocket now because he was president. Maybe he's not. No, change takes time.
Mm-hmm.
But we don't explain to people or show people that change takes that kind of time. And we also don't show them enough progress to, you know, for them to believe that it takes time. And also, let's be clear, liberal as we all may be, the Democratic Party screwed up too. And that's also part of it.
That's a learning curve.
And
that's a learning curve. The best thing to me about this last election is how many people came out to vote.
Yeah.
No matter what, that is pretty extraordinary. And that's something we have to keep up. But then it's all of the small changes. Like, somebody needs a park. Somebody needs to be able to have a computer so they can study their studies.
Right.
Somebody mm-hmm. needs to be able to pay their, you know, utility bill. Somebody needs their street paved.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody needs to not have to worry about how they dress just to go to class. Somebody needs to have a smaller classroom of kids so a teacher can have some real impact.
Mm-hmm.
Before we all become billionaires, which is lovely, but those things can be so rewarding.
Yeah.
Those things are those things that stick in somebody's heart. Mm-hmm. My mother always says, you don't have any grit. And certainly she does. And my father did. You know, she's like, you're floating.
She doesn't think you have any grit.
Well, because. Not compared to them.
Yeah.
And because I'm such a dreamy, absent-mindedy, but to really like hunker down in some of these behaviors and fights that do make change.
Right.
And that change can be very, very small. But how resilient are you? So I got a book called Grit. I was like, let me read up on some grit and get some more of it.
But you'd be surprised. You'd be surprised.
Yeah, but I'm all in the arts, and I'm in the spiritual, and I'm in the let's get your positivity, because I also know that that can build people's determination.
Yeah, I mean, you're bringing change in that manner just as much as somebody.
What about kids being able to play a violin and a guitar and a piano and a clarinet in school? Mm-hmm. What about that? It shouldn't just be a few schools that can do it.
Right.
It's just really, again, it goes back to that love thing and understanding that we're all connected. We're all in this together. And when other people are lifted up, you're lifted up as well. I love making money. Mm-hmm. But seeing somebody have a breakthrough that I helped them get to is more rewarding than money can ever be.
So rewarding. Ever. Yeah.
And what about the yoke of folks paying their school bills for 5,000 years? Their medical school bills and loans and everything for 5,000 years.
Yeah.
What are we going to do about that? So people can get free to be able to have their life.
Exactly.
Those are going to be challenges because capitalism is the reason those things are that way.
They are.
We all participate in that on some level as well.
Look here. Amazon might as well thank me personally.
Well, I'm right there with you.
I have been so irresponsible. I will have the thimble delivered from Amazon in
between Amazon and Instacart. I barely have to leave my house. So, and I barely have.
And you know, it's tough though, because we don't take responsibility for our contribution to these things.
That's
people
right.
love well, to complain about Walmart and their practices and how they treat their employees and all that stuff. Well, why is Walmart so big?
Because people shop there.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Oh my God, Amazon's doing this. They put the bookstores out. Well, because you'd rather sit at home, press the button, and order your book.
Well, I don't shop at Walmart. I did once because it was the only fucking place I could find toilet paper, but I never will again. How do you guys feel about getting older?
Ooh, it's much better than dying young.
Yes. That's true.
I'm like the old tired cliche. I feel like I'm just waking up as a person.
Me too.
I'm a late
I feel like
mature.
There's so much to do and all I see is death right up there. You know, it's like.
I wish I had awakened younger. I just was I lived in hot messville for too long. But and how they say youth is wasted on the young.
Yes, it's so true.
You start to get the little squeech of understanding and you want your body and everything to go with it. But again, I get to make the choices about how I eat and when I exercise and boy, I need to. So there's that. But as everybody our age and older will tell you, it ain't for the weak. Aging ain't for the... But we have to prepare. You got to prepare for it. We can prepare for it.
Well, that's the other thing that people don't do is think about 5 minutes ahead, let alone 10 years ahead. We don't prepare.
That's me. Yeah, no.
But honestly, I don't mind getting older. I really don't. I feel like I'm getting better every year, every day.
I do too.
Yeah, I don't move the way I used to move, but I still move better than most. You know, I'm just grateful because I took care of myself and my body all this time. I did injure my knee recently and I just had this ACL reconstruction.
How did you injure your knee again?
Dancing.
Elaborate.
Well, if you're gonna
No, Ricky, will you elaborate?
Oh, there is a story.
So my friend B Slade sings background for Patti LaBelle. I went to a Patti LaBelle concert, and after the concert there was an after party, and at the after party there was a Soul Train line, and the first step down the Soul Train line, ACL. And it was horrible.
Oh, Ricky, I'm sorry, but you injured your knee on a Soul Train line on your first step dancing. How old did you feel at that moment in time?
That's when I felt old. Now, my partner reminds me that I actually was complaining about my knee a little bit before then. So we're thinking it might have been a little bit of weakness or damage already. And then the Soul Train line triggered it. Now, what I did before, I don't know. But I tend to have fairly athletic sex. So that I'd like to think that sex had something to do with me hurting my knee.
All righty.
On your knee. I like this. Okay, good.
But not on my knee. I just hurt my knee during the fight. Let's be clear.
Okay. No. You know what? We can say anything on this podcast.
I had to say that just to see if you would clarify and say it out loud yourself. Oh God, I don't know. I think we just have to plan ahead, man. And we just have to be grateful we made it this long.
I joke around with friends, and I'm not really joking, but like when we say, oh, we're all going to like have a commune, we're all going to live together. You know, Denise and I talk about when we're, you know, old ladies stuffing our little olives with blue cheese and our arthritic fingers and our pool boys yes. and whatever. I'm serious. I can't imagine a better last decade of life than being with my friends and laughing.
Absolutely.
And hopefully remembering all the reasons we laughed in previous That's years, it. You know?
Absolutely. That sounds like a good idea to me.
I just want to laugh and I want to enjoy and I want to see other people enjoy and I want to mm-hmm. watch young folks come up with new stuff.
Oh, it's so wonderful teaching, right? Isn't it wild how all of us have like, crazy. We've kind of like, but it's, and it's part of your legacy, you know? I think you live as long as people remember you. And
yeah, and I don't have kids.
No.
None of us have children, yeah.
The closest thing I have are my wonderful friends and their little kitties and family and whatnot. Yeah. But that's as close as I get to really getting to enjoy the madness and the mm-hmm. challenge mm-hmm. that new minds and wild behavior, mm. the youth of feeling invincible and just seeing things and not having the old staid thoughts.
Right.
Yeah.
I'm always so impressed by the students that I have. I mean, just not just their talents, but you know how they look at life and man, I don't know whether I would want to be young now growing up and, but hopefully the world will continue to take, you know, two steps forward, one step back, two
yeah,
steps
but they
forward.
Don't know
one
any
step
different.
Back. Yeah.
These
they
babies
don't.
Who are born now, they seem to be awful happy.
Yeah.
They seem to be running around and learning to walk. We don't know yet. We'll have to see as they grow up, like what's the impact and what mm-hmm. was the parenting. And of course, parents want the best. So they're trying to do everything.
Parents want the best, but parenting does not come with an owner's manual.
And, true.
It's very difficult. But yeah, I agree. Young people are amazing. And I think the three of us connect with young people organically too, though, because of the mm-hmm. nature of our spirits. You know
well,
what I, mean?
I know like, I always have.
I'm glad you said that.
We're all smoking our fake cigarettes right
well,
now.
here.
Or drinking our real tequila right now.
I just want people to be able to have a life that they want.
Live your life how you see it.
Is that your call to action for everybody? Have no fear, pursue your dreams.
Yeah, I think I'm always thinking about fear because how I experience it in my own life and mm-hmm. how I feel when I don't. And I want people to experience
when you don't have that fear.
Yeah, when you don't have that fear. And just to find the things that you're passionate about mm-hmm. and to learn about love and the hope that I have for people is that they can find love. Mm-hmm. And if you want that kind of partnership, that you can find that and not have to worry how it shows up, but be able to enjoy what that is. And whether that's family, whether that's romantic love or marriage or lover or mm-hmm. friend, that you can figure out your family and y'all can go shoulder to shoulder, heart to heart, because mm-hmm. that's what you need in this world. That's what makes it.
But that the most important relationship you have is with yourself. You don't need somebody else to fill you up. It's just lovely to have that and to share life and experiences with someone else.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I would argue that you can't find love with somebody else until you find it in yourself.
I agree.
You'll find codependency.
Mm-hmm. Been there. Been there. Oh, yeah. Do you guys meditate?
Not like I should or I would like to. But these days, you know what I've been doing? I've been trying to read more. I used to be such an avid reader.
Yeah.
And then, of course, I'm obsessed with storytelling. So I'm always watching movies and TV and blah. But in this whole little time, mm-hmm. I've gotten back to reading a bit. And now I'm like my father used to. I always read fiction.
Right.
And my dad was always, and my mom's a voracious reader. She can read two books in a day. She's just a brain. Wow. But they would always read so much nonfiction and everything. And I thought, what fiction is the way? Then as I got older, of course, in my job, all I'd read is stuff and mm-hmm. All these things that feed me. But I like to just read a little bit, travel. That's my meditation.
Travel when we can again.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I meditate, but for me, painting is the most meditative act. When I'm immersed in a painting, it's like I can listen to the same song for 8 hours and be in that painting and then come up out of it.
And that's a form of meditating.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
But it helps to get still some way.
Mm-hmm.
I'm glad you said that. I posted about that on Facebook earlier this week. This moment that we're in is an absolute call by the universe to be Still.
Sit your butt
and
down.
We're resisting that, which is why we're still going through the chaos. But if people would just be still, then they're going to meet themselves, which is what most people are afraid of. Mm-hmm. But once you meet yourself, you're going to realize, oh, that's a wonderful person.
Mm-hmm. Lower that volume, lower that energy, think a little bit, put yourself in some other people's shoes.
Be still.
Take a walk even. Who knew that having a walk would make a comeback?
Oh my God, it's amazing.
Isn't it? And we knew that, but then you just tell yourself this old lie and story that you don't have time for it. And now it's become like a treasure to take a walk.
Mm-hmm.
And I love that.
Mm-hmm.
I, you know, I'm just a nerdy, like, I'm just really going to stop and smell that rose. Oh, well, look at that. Look and see that. So I love that.
Just to slow down. Everything is so fast. Yeah, I was the same as you, Elaine. I lost that reading because I used to read all the time. And I knew that I would enjoy, you're going to like roll your eyes, but I started reading the Harry Potter books again.
I did too for the first time.
I just love the way they're written.
I'm on book four.
They're great, right?
Totally great.
I mean, we'll just ignore the whole J.K. Rowling thing.
Look, we don't know what the heck happened to J.K. Rowling.
I don't know. I don't know. Yeah.
You got some issues. We don't know. We don't know nothing about that. Yeah. J or K. But we'll stay with your world building, and we're going to make a call for you.
I think that's what it is. It's like a different universe. You know, you get into that different universe, and I love that universe. And so I started reading those just to get back into the habit, because I knew that I would enjoy them because I've read them already. This world is so chaotic and there's so much thrown at you, especially the last 4 years. It's so hard to focus now. And if there is any silver lining in this pandemic, other than it possibly being the virus that saved democracy, it's that it's forced people to slow down and do things like walk and read and re-examine their relationships and who they want in their life and what they're doing with their life.
Yeah, it's super amazing. And you know, what we're really ultimately talking about is being present in the moment that you're in.
Mm-hmm.
And people so often don't do that. We're constantly obsessed with this time travel thing. We're worried about the stuff of the past, which is not realistic, by the way, because you never remember anything with the past the way it really was. But that's fantasy. Yeah. And then we're worried about what's going to happen in the future. Well, it hasn't happened yet. It's not written yet. So that's fantasy too. The only thing that's real, the only place anything ever really occurs, happens, is created or anything, is right now.
Mm-hmm.
And right now is such a gift that it's called the present.
Mm-hmm. And if you make good choices in the present, then your future will likely turn out better than you think.
Absolutely.
And you can't come up with any solutions for your perceived problems from the past or the future. It's when you get a little still that things set themselves right again.
Mm-hmm.
They set themselves right. You come up with an idea. So you can't change anything from all that anxiety. And once you can remember that, you got it.
Yeah. You know?
Almost everything I've been stressed about in my life or really worried about turned out to not be a big freaking deal when it finally came and I dealt
with it. And in hindsight, you think, God, how much time did I waste worrying about that? How much time did I waste stressing?
Right.
Yeah.
We all do it. And then you don't even have to beat yourself up about the fact that you do that.
Mm-hmm.
It's like you just get to notice it and let it move on.
Yep. Yep.
Exactly.
You don't even have to believe everything you say about yourself in negative ways.
Thoughts are just thoughts.
That's exactly right.
Absolutely. I love you guys so much.
I love you guys.
Love you too.
I am so happy you're in my world. I wish that we could be in person, but
I know.
You know,
I know.
It's wonderful that technology at least allows us to do stuff like that. I just love seeing your smiles and your faces.
We've been cheesing the whole time, everybody.
Oh, God, the whole time. Easy. The whole time.
That was before the alcohol started flowing, too.
I know, but don't worry, that hasn't stopped.
Right.
All right, so we should wrap this up. Elaine Williams, Ricky Day, I love you both, and I look forward to seeing you in person, and it's just been a pleasure having you on Mojo Girl Madness.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Katie.
And here's to Mojo.
Here's to Mojo. Cheers, cheers, and cheers.
To Mojo and to all of us having our mojo. Mm-hmm. Yes. Cheers. Oh, man. That was so much fun for me. I really hope you enjoyed it, too. Thank you. Thank you to Elaine and Ricky. And before anything else, here's how you can reach out to them if you'd like. Elaine Williams, the internationally recognized senior acting instructor for a couple of decades now, and she's had some pretty famous clients, specializes in the Meisner acting technique at the Joanne Baron D.W. Brown Studio in Santa Monica, California. Her classes, along with those of all the instructors there, are now available on Zoom, so you can take them from anywhere in the world. For more information on Elaine Williams or the acting classes, please visit baronbrown.com. That's baronbrown.com. Ricky Day, the award-winning visual artist, photographer, and filmmaker, works in Harlem, New York, and can be contacted, and some of his amazing work can be seen, you really should check it out, at rickydaystudio.com. That's RickyDayStudio.com. Again, thank yous to Elaine and Ricky. I can't wait to hug you guys in person and toast to our friendship at El Coyote whenever this damn pandemic allows. But first, mad quote alert. Some inspiring words from Ms. Elaine Williams. A few years ago, Elaine and I were having one of our hours-long dinners, and she told me her philosophy on life boils down to a few simple words, and here's the quote. The best is yet to come. This phrase was almost ruined this summer, but Elaine didn't scream those words like a clown from behind a podium during a political convention. No, she just said, I always think the best is yet to come. I don't know whether I've ever told Elaine how much her saying that to me made an impact, but it did. I mean, although we may strive to live in the moment and enjoy the journey, something that's always kept me going through the difficult times is having something to look forward to. I've always tried to plan a trip in the future, even just a fun outing, an adventure, something in the future I can smile about, look forward to, and know that no matter how hard the day is that I'm facing, there's something good down the road. Having the life philosophy that the best is yet to come makes me feel happy. That there's always more to life, always joy ahead, no matter where you are in the moment. Thank you for that, Elaine. So, I have a couple of personal episodes coming up in the next 2 weeks on Mojo Girl Madness. They'll be just me, solo, and they're relatively short episodes. I've already recorded both of them. They both will provide some food for thought as we enter the holiday season. I hope you like them. We're also heading towards the end of season one of Mojo Girl Madness. This has been super fun, you guys. Hopefully for you too. The last episode, which we'll post a week or two before Christmas, maybe a little earlier than I'd planned because I did book a TV show to direct in December, so I'll have to focus on that for a while. But the last episode, next month sometime, will be a wrap-up of the season. I'll address some of the emails that have come in, review some of the most popular topics we've discussed, and I'll talk about my thoughts, mine and yours, for season two. I'd really love to hear your thoughts if you haven't shared already. What topics, types of guests, what formats would you be most interested in? Do you like the personal story episodes of mine? The momentary madness rants? The guest interviews? I'd love to hear from you. And thank you for those of you who've already sent messages. I'll keep you all anonymous if you'd like to. Just let me know. Drop me a note or even a lengthy message via email at immojogirl, immojogirl @gmail.com or through my website at mojogirlmadness.com. And let me know if you or someone you know might be a good guest. I'm open. That's all I've got for today, fellow mojos. Please stay safe, healthy, and try to choose happiness. Love you madly. Mojo Girl Madness is produced by Morgan McDougal Productions. Make sure to catch Jackie McDougal's awesome pod, 40 Thrive, wherever you get your podcasts.